Welcome to my Father's House podcast, episode 85, Three Benefits of Water Baptism. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on July 21st, 2019.
This morning, it's a special day. It's our baptism Sunday. And so we're going to be speaking just for a few minutes about baptism. But I'd like to start in the book of Hebrews, the sixth chapter, says, in the first verse, therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to maturity or perfection, not laying again the foundation of, now listen to these six things, repentance from dead works and faith towards God and the doctrines of the baptisms, of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Now we could take a whole message just on those verses. But I bring this up just because it's important just to look at the progression there. If you think about baptism and why do we get baptized and why should we get baptized, look at the progression there. It begins with repentance from dead works. That's the first thing. Normally, when somebody writes about something, they write things in the order of importance or the important or the order of or a sequence that's important. And here, the sequence is repentance from dead works and faith towards God are the first two foundational things in a person's life. When you have repentance from dead works and faith towards God, then you've received your salvation. So those of you who have said, I do to Jesus, and have made a covenant with him, have accepted him into your life, you had to do that through that progression of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Now, if you want to know more about the dead works and stuff, you can go to Galatians chapter 5 and read about them. It says the works of the flesh are, and then it lists them. And then it says the fruit of the Spirit are, and it lists them. So it's contrasting two kinds of life. The Bible says that when you become born again, you step out of the old and step into the new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, created after God in righteousness and holiness. And so it's stepping out of the old and stepping into the new. And when we come to baptism, we're outwardly saying, I'm outwardly declaring what has happened on the inside of me. And I'm making this declaration, and I'm doing it in the waters of baptism, not just because Jesus commanded it, because it's from my heart that I've stepped out of the oldness into the newness. I've become a new creation being, and I'm saying to God, I'm saying to the public, I'm saying publicly, I'm making a declaration, this is who I am. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus. In the book of Romans, the sixth chapter, fourth verse, Paul says, therefore we are buried with him through baptism unto death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Did you notice it say we should walk in the newness of life? So the reality is you could get baptized, you could go under the water, come out of the water, you could go in a sinner, come out a sinner. And nothing's happened. It's possible. But if you're buried with him in baptism unto death, then just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you have the potential to walk in newness of life. Out of that waters of baptism and out of that declaration, there's power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to live a new kind of life. Have we all done it perfectly? I'm pretty sure not. I mean, I can speak for myself. I don't have to speak for you. But we haven't done it perfectly. But we have the potential to do it perfectly. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. And you can walk it out day by day. Or if you have to, you can walk it out minute by minute. Or second by second. Because he will help you. Because the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, prompting you, helping you to do what you know is right and what he's convicted you of in your heart. Peter, referring to Noah and the flood days, he says this, there is an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Now, sometimes some churches just stop there. Baptism, they say, now baptism does now baptism saves us. But they neglect the rest of the verse, which says, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. So your baptism is really between you and God. It's between your spirit and his spirit. And it's an act that releases, not just washes things out outwardly, but releases what was inside of you. And it's the answer of your conscience towards God that, yes, I belong to him. I am his and he is mine. We're one with the Father because Jesus is one with the Father and I'm one with him, and we're all in it together. Amen. Then he says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's gone into heaven and is at the right hand of the Father, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. So when we do that, we step into a new place of authority in our lives, and we can walk out the victory that Jesus won for us at the cross of Calvary. So the reality is we're people of the kingdom. We're in touch with heaven, but our assignment is here on earth. We have to minister down here, you know, where there's corruption, where there's bad stuff, where there's evil, wickedness, and all kinds of things bombarding to try to take us away and take us off track and so forth and so on. But God's purpose in bringing people into the kingdom is not just to take us to heaven, but to transform the world around us, to change everything around us, because now we're not the thermometer measuring the temperature, we're the thermostat setting the temperature everywhere that we go. So we, through what's happened in our lives, should be able to change the things around us by the power of the Holy Spirit operating into and through us and walking in obedience to his word, of course, and standing fast in the liberty with which Christ has set us free and not being entangled again with the yoke of bondage, as Sarah shared before. So we have an assignment, and we need to be the people who recognize what resources we have in that invisible realm and usher those resources into the realm of reality. In other words, we're bringing heaven to earth. Earth isn't going to just take heaven, but God's depending on his people to bring heaven to earth and to minister to them, the people around us. So water baptism is one of the most common practices in Christianity, but it's not just a religious kind of ritual. Jesus commanded that we repent and be baptized, Matthew 28, verse 19, and Mark 16, 16. You can find it there. There are many people who have received Jesus as Savior, but they have not come to the waters of baptism. So, but the Bible clearly calls us to baptism in this sequence: repent and be baptized. If you were baptized before you received Jesus, you need to get rebaptized, I guess. You need to get baptized now because you've repented. Directly tied to being baptized are some incredible points of release, which I want to really talk to you about this morning, that are illustrated through the baptism of Jesus. So we're going to go to the book of Mark, the first chapter, just where Jesus was baptized, and you can see some things out of this baptism. Verse 9 of Mark chapter 1 says, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, as was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So that's the encapsulation of Jesus being baptized. So you could ask, why was Jesus baptized? Because, you know he was the Son of God. You know that he was sinless. He didn't really need to repent of anything. So why was he baptized? Well, maybe you should think about, why was he not baptized? He's the only person in history who didn't need to be. His purpose was not so that he could command us so that he could command us to be baptized. He could have done that without going through it himself, right? I mean, he could have just decided, I want everybody to be baptized. He didn't have to go through it himself to do that, right? So that's not why he was baptized. He didn't also do it to indicate his repentance since he didn't have any sin. So why was Jesus baptized? He was baptized really so that we could see what the benefits really could be or what expected benefits there might be through baptism. At his baptism, there came an infusion of things from heaven. Something from heaven came down to earth in his life, in his ministry. And those are the things that he wants to put into our lives. Those three things that happened to Jesus can happen to you and can happen to me. Here's what happened. First of all, the heavens were parted. Secondly, the Spirit came on him like a dove, the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, the Father expressed his pleasure in his Son, Jesus. Those three things are expectations that every believer can have when they get baptized. It's not only that it has the baptism, that it has benefit in obedience, but it really takes something that's invisible and makes it available to you, sort of like unlocks it to you. And that not only takes place when you're baptized, but it's a fresh resource that you can take through faith in Jesus, through faith in what he's promised you. So Jesus opened that doorway for this to be released at baptism. He commanded us to be baptized. It's just not an issue of choice because he did command it. But water baptism opens the way to things that will never happen in your life until you take that pathway to obedience. So it's like this. When you step out in obedience, God honors obedience and your faith, your step of faith. And when you do that, it releases a lot of things to you. Praise the Lord. So there's an endless amount of resources available for those who have received Jesus and have been baptized. So let's just take a quick look at those three things that I expressed. So besides establishing your obedience and besides opening his promise through baptism, here's the first thing. Baptism provides an occasion for a heavenly announcement to come into you. Just like Jesus was spoken over by his Father, God is speaking over you. At baptism, he tacks down a specific time and a place so that you can refer to it the rest of your life, the thing that he's spoken over you. Father says, through the cross where my Son died, I've cut away the record of sin against you, and I call you one of my sinless children, and I'm pleased with you. And you have an opportunity to accept that in baptism and to declare that in baptism. And then for the rest of your life to look back to that point. And if the devil tries to bring something against you or hold something over you, you can say, yes, but on that day, I sealed it with an act of obedience to God and an act of faith. I sealed it that I belong to him and he belongs to me. And I'm forever one of his children, and he's pleased with me. So devil, back off. Get out in Jesus' name. Amen? So the second resource that this releases to you is it provides a setting for a spiritual breakthrough in your circumstance. You know, we've talked about circumstances this morning with several as we ministered earlier. But everybody in their life has some circumstances, some things that need to change, some things that seem to maybe resist change, some things that are just, you know, we struggle with or we struggle against or whatever. Those things are there. But now in baptism, we have an opportunity to receive resource that helps us get a breakthrough in the circumstance. If you if you look at that scripture where in Mark that we just read, where it says the heavens were parted, really the literal translation is it says that the heavens were torn or ripped open. The heavens were ripped open and he saw the Spirit descend like a dove. So just like that, baptism provides a place, a point of contact for you to get a breakthrough, a huge breakthrough in your circumstances. It's an opportunity. It's not a guaranteed, it's not a given, but it's an opportunity for you to receive that resource into your life. It's a powerful thing. So it's not just, okay, I just do this because my church said I did it. It's not just because Jesus commanded me. But now I have benefits really that are released to me that potentially I can receive these things when I'm baptized. So when we become his, he wants us to minister his life through those capacities on the inside of us. So Jesus goes from baptism into an immediate confrontation with who? The devil, right? So right out of his baptism, he went into the wilderness, the Bible says, and he was tempted of the devil. And in every temptation, he overcame. Why? Because power and resource was released to him in his circumstance. It's in that season of temptation, Jesus, he cut through the devil's attempts to break him down. Every time he did it with the word of God and through the power of the Spirit, he took the sword and he cut him apart. So baptism initiates spiritual recognition, or maybe second sight, you could say, intuition. It's up to us to appropriate it in the realm when we're in spiritual confrontation. So a lot of believers in Jesus live at the mercy of their circumstances, thinking they have they maybe need some religious person, some professional to tell them what to do. I mean, that's how a lot of Christians live. But you can be fulfilled in the purpose of God through you with the same resources that God poured out on Jesus when he was baptized. People want to learn how to live in their ministry, to administer the things, the capacities that God has given them, and to be what they are created to be. They need to learn that through the power of the Holy Spirit. For that to happen, they need that breakthrough. You need that breakthrough. We need that breakthrough. And when we get that breakthrough, we can be more sensitive to the spiritual realm and let Christ work into and through us. So the third area is that baptism opens a way to an unceasing overflow of the Holy Spirit into your life. When the heavens were rent, ripped open, the Bible says that they saw the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus like a dove. And you know from that point on, his ministry exploded. The greatness of the power of the living God was flowing through him in mighty ways. So every one of us have a ministry to live out, to have the Holy Spirit enabling us by the power of Jesus to serve. We have a mission in life. It's a specific target, but it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish that, to make it happen. So if Jesus needed that, for sure we need that. He needed to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit for the ministry that was ahead of him. And so do you, and so do I. Jesus is not living and serving the Father's will in his life with a greater resource than what God wants you and I to have. It's the same resource, the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit. He never sinned, but we have. But through the blood of the cross, we can have freedom because he neutralized the power of sin and gave us the privilege to stand before the Father sinless in his sight. The Bible says you're the righteousness of God in Christ. We have right standing with God through Jesus and through the power of his blood. So we're redeemed to live in a new dimension of life in Jesus. And in that new dimension, we have the purity and the power of the Holy Spirit to live out our lives. It provides a continuing fund that's available to us for the rest of our life that we can draw on all the time. Praise the Lord. So what should we take away from this? Well, just like Jesus at the waters of baptism, we can establish our obedience to the Lord. We can open His promise to us. And we can receive tangible, in tangible terms, a recorded date, a time, a place for divine approval from the Father, for spiritual breakthroughs to come into our lives, and for unlimited flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That date and that place and that time for Kim is today. So, but that's our expectation, and that's why it's a special thing. Now, in many countries, when you get baptized, you do so at the peril of your life because it's a demarcation. It's a point where you've broken from not just the past, your past of sin and so forth, but now many times in people's lives, they're pulled away from their families. They maybe would lose their jobs. They would be blacklisted or persecuted by governments and so forth and so on just by taking this act. So, I mean, it's a serious thing in those nations, but it should be just as serious for us because we should be making the same kind of declaration. You know, to become children of God through faith in Jesus cost you nothing because He went to the cross and paid the price. But to live for Jesus and follow Him costs you everything. You have to lay down everything and be willing to lay down everything to follow after Him. Jesus said, come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. That means that those disciples had to leave their past and step into their future. They had to make a decision that day. And then He began to teach them and minister to them, and they began to grow and mature, just as we must do after we've come to Christ, after we've come to follow Him. We need to keep growing. We need to keep following His instruction, keep seeking Him and submitting to the whole formation that we have through discipleship. So praise God. Today is a special day. It's a day of victory. It's a line of demarcation. It's something that you can whip the devil with and say, yes, devil, look at this. This was my day. And God's pleased with me. Praise the Lord. So God bless you today. So let's just pray. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus, and thank you for the power of Jesus' name. Thank you that the weapons of our warfare, they're not of the flesh, but they're mighty through you, God, to demolish strongholds. So today, Father, we cast down imaginations, vain thinking, Father, all kinds of worldly thoughts, and we put our thoughts in line with you, with your heart, with your intention, with your mission for our lives, with your plan and your purpose, Lord. We line ourselves up with that today through the blood of Jesus and through the power of His name. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did in our lives. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood you shed there. Thank you that you didn't stay in the grave, but you came out of the grave victorious forever. And thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to lead and guide us and direct us. And thank you, Father, especially that we're now reconciled to you through Jesus Christ, and that you've given us a ministry of reconciliation to reach out to others. For it, we give you glory, honor, and praise today in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.